Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Now, as always, you got involved. You were very good today.
Very good on your Diddy David Hamilton subject. And very good as well on the impending apocalypse, which isn't necessarily happening.
It's not. Don't worry, Max. It's a bit preemptive. Mark Watson joined us, comedian and Bristol City fan. He was on good form. We enjoyed our chat with Danny Kelly today on My Sporting Life.
Absolutely, yeah.
We had a chat with Sam Avery, the Everton supporting comedian, and you'll hear our various bits and pieces. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. I know we're gonna talk to Philippe Auclair about the PSG game, aren't we?
We should say that was well done to Liverpool. We had a chat with comedian and Liverpool fan Adam Rowe yesterday, and he called it right. He didn't have defensive concerns, although had that one not hit the post and gone in, you wonder if the confidence may have drained from Liverpool after recent results at the start. But it didn't, and they took their chances well. And it did strike me that when Julian Nagelsmann is being linked with the Tottenham job, I thought, defenders making individual errors, setting up a defence to lose like that. He's got Tottenham written all over him,
hasn't
he?
There was part of me wondering if they'd concentrated too much on Liverpool's recent defending by studying the Liverpool team to see what to learn to do. They'd just been, you know, watching Alisson and Kabak and then just thought, we'll do the same things. I mean, the Muschiali mistake was brilliant.
That was
Sunday league,
Gavison
wasn't it?
Muschiali was fantastic where he fell over his own feet. But, you know, Liverpool took their chances well, wasn't it? And it was a brilliant match, and they played very, it was very exciting because they both went for it, didn't they?
Yeah, and that must be sort of a relief for Liverpool fans to watch a game where the opposition are also going for it and they are just sticking 10 men behind the ball. Curtis Jones was great last night.
Yeah,
he is a really exciting player, isn't it? And you wonder, he must be close. He's English, isn't he? He's as scouse as they come.
Yeah,
isn't he? You wonder, he must be knocking on the door, I think, isn't he? I mean, I don't know how big the central midfield door is.
That door's getting bigger. It's a pretty big door.
The sort of quick wide, the skillful wide men number 10 door is a very big door to try and knock on for Southgate. But he was brilliant. I thought that freed up Thiago a little bit because I sort of will Thiago to be brilliant because we know he's such a, just the way he moves and the way he passes a football is a total joy. Now, they did really well, I think. I mean, PSG were great. A mate of mine in Australia sent me the international commentary of when the commentator really sticking his neck out by saying Kylian Mbappe has a bright future ahead of him.
Wow. you remember where you heard it last. That's the one.
Meanwhile, Ian Dark said, so the Messi penalty, he said, there isn't a goalkeeper in the universe who could have saved that. Is this the moment where we finally conclusively say there's no life beyond Earth? And who knew that Ian Dark would be the one to tell us all that that is it. There's no life beyond this earth.
Certainly one that could have stopped that pen. I mean, it was a good pen.
It's a great pen.
I wouldn't say it was unstoppable.
There are some goalkeepers just outside the Milky Way who have an excellent reach who could have stopped it. He also, Ian Dark, praised Glenn Hoddle for his ability to read lawns. Did you hear this bit? Because there was an offside decision. I think PSG scored one and it was disallowed for offside. And Glenn could see from the cut of the turf. You often use the cut of the turf. He said, you're very good at reading lawns. Would you buy the coffee table book, Reading Lawns by Glenn Hoddle?
Yeah, I'd certainly buy that. If he was doing a signing in the local Waterstones, I imagine he's got a nice garden, Glenn, don't you? The lines are cut.
I think it's perfect.
It's like a bowling green out there.
I think so.
Anyway, we wanted to hear from you, as we said in the in intro there about things the Stars have tried to buy from you. We're going to talk Fulham later on, and this involves a radio presenter, a TV presenter, and a man that was the PA announcer for many years, or the kind of host at Craven Cottage for many years. Diddy David Hamilton.
Also the host of What's in the Box on live TV. Do you remember that TV show?
No, I don't.
Quite an amazing
TV
show.
I've seen clips of it. Yeah, I've seen
it. Amazing.
Yes.
I mean, essentially a box came down a chute and people would ring up and have three guesses.
About what was in it?
What was in the box. Yeah. That's a okay. It was an amazing TV
Good
show.
Good format. See, if that was Ant and Dex, What's in the Box, you get that away. That's prime time Saturday
There was
night.
One where the clue was, you'll need a check for this one, mate. Okay, so that's the clue. So, I don't know if you've got it, what it might be, right?
Yeah.
Question, Dave in Bromsgrove rings in.
Oxy-acetylene cutting equipment. Is that what it was?
The question one, is it electrical? David Hamilton said yes. Question two, do you plug it in? David Hamilton said no. Question three, is it electrical again? Just to confirm that, David Hamilton said yes. Here's your guess. Is it an electric checkbook holder? What you've always dreamed of.
Is that true?
I watched the whole episode. What is an electric checkbook holder, and why do you need it to be electrical? Why do you need a checkbook holder in the first place? Anyway,
yeah,
marvelous time for me.
In this case, Diddy David Hamilton has the number plate D1DDY, as in, so you can imagine that, of course, D1. DDY. And he was in a car park one day, and who should walk up? The then Chelsea player, Didier Deschamps.
This is great.
Yeah. And he wandered up and he said, I'd like to buy your number plate, please. He didn't know who Diddy David was. He didn't listen to What's in the Box or seen him at Fulham or watched his continuity announcing on Thames TV all those years ago. But Diddy David Hamilton didn't know what to say. So he said, $20,000, and Didier David Hamilton.
What a player he was! Just in front of the back four, low center of gravity.
Didier Deschamps said, "Is that all?"
Wow!
So he just got the negotiation wrong.
Oh, did he?
So, and he went, "Okay, I meant 20,000 for the back one and 20,000 for the front one." that was obviously too much for Didier David Hamilton, because he didn't want to know after. He never followed it up.
Oh, wow.
So he obviously underpriced it, but then overpriced it.
Okay.
So $40,000 for it was too much.
Didier Deschamps was quite a sort of in the Dragon's Den to say, I'll make you this offer, I'm out, without giving them any negotiation. I think maybe Diddy David Hamilton didn't get the chance. Can I just talk to the room at the back?
Yeah.
Before Diddy Deschamps.
But you're in a car park, you're on the spot. Someone says, how much do you want for your number plate? You know it's worth a lot of money.
Sure.
But then not great negotiation from Diddy Deschamps to say, oh, is that all? No. I mean, it's not really the one. You just bite the bloke's hand off, don't you, if you think you've got a bargain. But then, obviously, money was no object, but it was, because when it got to $40,000, he wasn't interested.
Ludicrous scenario.
What a story that is. But anyway, I trust David Hamilton implicitly, and so I don't doubt for a minute that conversation happened. They called him a water carrier, but he was prepared, not David Hamilton, obviously, but he was prepared to spend, not quite $40,000 on a number plate.
Surely David Hamilton would say, what about 30, as Deschamps just cruised back to his car?
If we phoned the French Football Association today, or we found a number for Didier, I'm trying to think some of the people we might know could have a number for him.
Well, Philippe's coming on now.
If we asked Philippe Auclair if he could put a call into Didier Deschamps and ask him that day in the car, what would he have paid? What would he have paid for Diddy David Hamilton?
And has the moment gone? Could we arrange the transaction now?
Is he still interested? Okay, entering that sort of late middle-aged swinger phase where he wants a personalised number plate on his Lamborghini? I don't know.
Possibly. Yeah. Who knows?
We'll ask Philippe. So here we are. So the reason we bring that up is we'd quite like to know about the things that the Stars wanted to buy from you. I think that one would fit into that category, wouldn't you?
Just to be clear, it's not. I think we need to not, for example, Peter says, I sold Chris Commons a cinema ticket. I worked at Odeon in Mansfield and sold one to Liam Lawrence. That's not kind of what we want.
It's not enough, is it?
We're more interested in Neil saying Olympic silver medal swimmer Nick Gillingham bought a staircase from me. Nick Gillingham bought a staircase off me.
Yeah.
That we accept that.
That's
one.
Good.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Max Rushton here on Talk Sport. Why did David Hamilton, David Hamilton, not try and sell his number plate to P. Diddy? Could have started negotiations at $1 million.
Well, the dream would be for Deschamps and P. Diddy to be in the same, to start, and then you could start haggling.
But P. Diddy would be armed with the knowledge that we know that Didier Deschamps won't go as high as 40 grand. So as soon as he gets to 40 grand, he's out the bidding.
That is true,
really.
That is true.
If you missed the first 10 minutes, it won't make a great deal of difference.
But it's your loss, isn't it?
That was Stephen from Lisbon. Thanks very much, Stephen. Anyway, we've heard of comedians doing virtual gigs online, but how do you go on a virtual tour moment? Let's find out now, because if an intrepid comedian, a man who's, or I think he's actually going to do this again, a man who he's done 24-hour gigathons in the past. Mark Watson joins us, Bristol City fan. Good afternoon, Mark.
Afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. So, yeah, we were wondering this. How do you go on a virtual tour? Do you not allow people from just over the border to watch?
I'd say the touring aspect of it has been slightly minimised by the fact that it's now illegal to go to any of the places that you can go in this country. So basically, a lot of comedians, as you know, have been just incessantly postponing tour dates again and again and again, putting them off to spring and then the autumn and so on. And basically, I've felt like I've had enough of doing that. So I've started honouring the original tour dates, but as Zoom gigs, which means that you get an audience that's half of them are somewhere like Leicester, where the show is meant to be. But then people are in from sort of San Francisco or something who realistically might not have come to Leicester in the original booking. So it sort of works out quite well for me, if you can get past the fact that it would have been nice to be in the actual theatre, obviously.
I don't know. You never know. Some people might have flown from San Francisco. You shouldn't do yourself down. Yeah. Like, I'm off to Leicester for a weekend.
Don't get me wrong. I've got a partisan fan base in places like San Francisco that will often turn up in Barrow or Furness, but this is a bit easier for them.
The ultras. So I guess, you know, the nice thing, you know, the idea when you do a gig in Manchester, right, you sort of make it slightly about Manchester, don't you? And it's related to that. So you can do that sort of thing with at least half the audience. Right.
I have been doing a bit of that. I did a sort of, in inverted commas, hometown one in Bristol last week. And once more, by in Bristol, I mean here in my house where I always am. but for that, we sort of replicated a bit of Bristol's skyline on the back wall. Sometimes I'm out of ideas and I just print the words Otley Playhouse out on A4 and stick them up. it's interesting. It's an interesting challenge trying to do, as you say, you've got a certain amount of local material that I can still slip in because I've been to all these places before. I've travelled the length and breadth of the country so much. But then, you might also have someone in from Taiwan. You might have the Watson Ultras burning other comedians' flags and stuff and letting off the flare. You've sort of got to cater to them. In fact, in a couple of these shows, I've had more people watching than would have been the capacity of the original theatre, which is obviously nice, but it's a bit of a challenge mentally.
When you do Hexham or you do Paignton, will you do sort of little digs at the neighbouring towns and cities as part of the school? That might be lost on the people from Taiwan, I guess.
It does feel a bit weird, A, when not everyone is from there, and B, you're not even there yourself. Yeah,
it's true.
I've slightly minimised the... And also, you know, local material used to be a case of saying, oh, here's a funny thing I noticed on the way here, whereas now it's more reminiscing about a time you were there 4 years ago, which is not quite as much fun. So I'm still working out how to do that. And of course, what you really miss is actually being in these places. Part of what I love about being a comedian, not everyone does. A lot of people moan about the travelling and the touring. But, you know, for me, it's an intrinsic part of what I do, really. Yeah. Seeing places, seeing, you can't really replace that. But at least you can try. I feel like there's been so much cancelling and postponing. And so it's not just me. There's a few comedians doing it. Deliso, Chaponda, Josie Long. And all of us basically have this mentality of like, well, we've got to do something. And it seems like there is an appetite for it because watching stuff that's actually happening live is... Plus, of course, in some ways, it's easier. You can still be in your house.
Where do we get tickets from then, Mark?
I was going to do a joke about going down to your local theatre and knocking on the door. It was a bit bittersweet to make a remark like that. So it's all on... Like, if you Google me, Mark Watson tour, you'll probably see in amongst the stuff saying all comedy tours cancelled forever. The actual website to go to is Impatient Productions, though. That's my production company.
Okay.
ImpatientProductionsUK.com, I think it is, and you'll easily find... and there's still... Or it might just be .com. Anyway, you'll find it. Impatient Productions.
Yeah, we'll put it all in. And it's great you say, I can't get to Warrington on June the 20th. Well, you don't have to. Anyway, we're going to talk Bristol... Yeah, you can anywhere in the world.
Without any intention of going to Warrington.
That's true. Not that there's anything wrong with Warrington.
Absolutely not.
In case you do actually want to go there. So, yes, Dino has gone. Dean Holden has left the club, and we thank him for his service.
Absolutely,
no doubt,
yeah.
As clubs always do. We wish him the best for the future. We were talking about when Jason Tindall lost his job the other week. It's a bit of a punt, isn't it, this step up for the assistant manager? It doesn't cost the club a great deal of money. It gives you a bit of continuity at a time. You probably haven't got to give somebody a 3 or 4 year contract. And so it proves again, it maybe being the guy who makes the step up makes you easier to get rid of in some ways.
I think there definitely is a perception. I mean, the fan base have been livid for weeks as results have deteriorated. So this was probably coming, although it's happened a bit faster than we thought. And I don't know. See, Jason Tindall didn't even seem like he was doing too badly to me. And to be fair, nor did Holden. But it did start to feel inevitable. In fact, when we lost 6-0 at the weekend, I started thinking that call from TalkSport to discuss Bristol City is only days away.
We were waiting for the change of manager. We put it in then. So.
Have you found, Mark...
The go-to for our club's crises.
Yeah. Have you found... Well, I found with Cambridge, I know Bristol City are probably on Sky occasionally, and Cambridge don't get that far, but I found iFollow has got me closer to the club in a way. I sort of see all their games and, you know, get to know who the players are.
We are on Sky a reasonable amount, but nonetheless, I've been able to see more games this season than probably any other season since I moved away from Bristol, which has been something of a mixed blessing in recent weeks. I mean, the 6-0 was on my birthday and I could have done without that. but yeah, I actually feel sorry for Holden. I think there's a general perception among the fan base that, like you say, it was sort of a safe and cheaper option, which might be unfair. But what is definitely what everyone agrees on, I think, is that it's pretty embarrassing to have what they described as a rigorous selection. It went on for absolutely ages, the original appointment. So to then do that and within 6 months admit he isn't the right man makes us look, pretty stupid. and of course it happens a lot. I do feel sorry for the guy because he went in with a lot of the fans already thinking it was a cop-out, which means that, you know, if we had a bigger name manager, I think this run of 4 or 5 defeats wouldn't have killed him off. But as you know, if a boss starts with kind of 80% of the fan base already on the fence about him, then it's nearly impossible to ride these bad patches out.
Who would you like next, Mark?
Well, there's a lot of talk about this, as you can imagine, across my WhatsApps. I think Eddie Howe is the dream, but by dream, I mean absolutely not going to happen. the other thing is, I don't know, these days quite a lot of clubs just dig out a foreign coach like Daniel Farke or, you know, Thomas Frank. So maybe my answer is, if we can't have Howe, just some German genius that no one knows about. Because then at least we can get excited about him for a few weeks and someone can pull up a YouTube clip about why he's a tactical master and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. There is an excitement in that, in the old new, isn't there? And before we let you go, because we're nearly out of time, we just want to talk to you about very quickly about your new podcast. So tell us a bit about that.
This is something I'm doing with this guy called Michael Chakraverty, who was on the Bake Off a couple of years ago. And it's about sort of masculinity. Basically, we talked to a lot of different people about being a man and what it means. It's called Menkind. You'd think it wouldn't be that relevant to this conversation, but actually stuff like football sport does come up all the time because he's not a sports fan at all and he's not in his... And the same for a lot of the guests. So I'm constantly trying to explain why people get so furious about football and why there's so much sort of hatred and aggression in sport and what that's got to do with being a man. So I've had to sort of think quite hard. And I mean, again, the sort of thing you do think about when your club is spiralling like we are.
Well, good stuff. It's called Menkind, and I suppose you can find it wherever you find your podcast. Always a pleasure. Good to talk to you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
In fact, Max has already tweeted out the link, I can see, to the tickets. Fair say.
Very good. Right. He's on the case. He's on the case. Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
If you've been listening over the past few weeks, you'll know we've been checking in with Danny Kelly, the host of My Sporting Life. All of the My Sporting Life interviews, in-depth interviews with sports great and good, they're all available on the TalkSport app. The whole archive's there, and there's some fantastic ones. We're just picking one at random, like a kind of My Sporting Life jukebox. And today, plucked from the archive, the great Michael Holding. And Danny joins us now. Hi, Dan.
Good afternoon, chaps. Everything well, I hope?
Yes, yeah, good, we're all good.
Good.
Thank you. He's always good value, Mikey, isn't he? Whatever he's talking about, whether he's, you know, co-commentating or working on cricket or just shooting the breeze, he's always a joy when he comes in to see us. So spending a couple of hours with him must have been great.
It was, and it's ironic because last week when we discussed the My Sporting Life with David Ginler, you asked me about being a fanboy. In fact, I was far more overexcited about Michael Holding. I'm of an age where that West Indian team of the 70s and 80s was one of the first time I realised that a sporting team could absolutely dominate the globe. I grew up in the same part of London as you, Paul, so lots of West Indian people around me at school and, you know, friends and all the rest of it watching that team. And I genuinely believe that Michael Holding, and this is just a personal opinion, of course, is the greatest fast bowler that I've ever seen. I don't mean like fast medium bowlers like Stuart Broad or whoever you want to make the comparison with, but somebody whose sheer speed was enough, and skill, of course, was enough to intimidate even the greatest opponents. So I went into this interview a little bit starry-eyed, but actually you're absolutely right to say that we got on very well. He's very good at talking. He's a very emotional man, and really, every one of the things he told me about his own life, well, there was a kind of feeling to it. It wasn't very matter of fact. He was great.
And you know, there is that cliche about people, you know, you could listen to them read out the phone book, but he has one of the greatest voices in broadcasting, doesn't he?
Oh, the actor Mark Strong or Otis Redding, there are some people's voices who just resonate with you. I think resonate with the human species, and he's got one of those, hasn't he? And of course, that was on the other issues, Max. You watch him so long as a Sky commentator that you think you know the person until you actually sit down with him for 3 hours. And then you realise that, of course, we all have a little bit of an act to do on the radio. It's a little bit of a heightened personality. So it was fascinating to get to know him as well.
Looking back over his career, Dan, we're going to play a clip now from when he talked about signing up in the mid-70s for the World Series cricket in Australia.
I got a call from Clive Lloyd. And when I got the call from Lloyd, he started to tell me about World Series cricket.
I should make the point, all this was happening in great secrecy, cloak and dagger.
If we'd got out,
the cricket authorities would have stopped it.
Oh, they would have found some way of trying to stop it or definitely stopping it. He told me about World Series cricket and this man from Australia was trying to do private enterprise cricket, as it was called. And he said two people would come and see me in Jamaica to discuss it with me. And I said to him, who are these people? And he said, Tony Gregg and Austin Robertson. And when he said Tony Gregg, because I remember this is just after 76 and 76 too. When he said Tony Gregg, I said to him, Tony Gregg, I don't want to talk to Tony Gregg. And he said, no, just listen to what they have to say. So eventually Tony Gregg and Austin Robertson arrive in Jamaica. They start telling me about this Kerry Packer and showing me pamphlets and thing about his woman's weekly magazine and his television station, Channel 9, and what he owns and what he doesn't own. And I simply said to them, listen, Skipper Lloyd says that he has signed, just show me where to sign.
You trusted Clive enough?
Yeah, once Clive said he had signed and he saw no problem with it, I was happy to sign.
Good stuff. Yeah, as you say, it's a great voice. He's just always a compelling listen, isn't he? So fantastic.
Yeah, and of course, his utter devotion to Clive Lloyd. Another person I interviewed for My Sport in Life, shone through all of that, because he was very young then, Michael, and was prepared to let the senior man make the decision for him, and what was a really controversial thing that they were doing.
There's an iconic photograph and an iconic clip when you see it, and it looks like Michael Holding sort of it looks like he's taking a penalty. It's like a great football shot, but in fact he's just kicked the stumps down. And he's
testing New Zealand. Yeah,
yeah. He spoke to you about that. Let's hear what he had to say.
We had had pretty much enough, or I had had enough, because the umpiring was atrocious. I
think and biased.
There is no way it was all mistakes. You can't make mistakes in one direction. The batsman was Parker. I don't remember his first name. And he was looking to head towards the pavilion. And his bat is under his arm. If you look at the picture, you'll see it. One glove off, bat under his arm. And he looks at the umpire, and the umpire just shakes his head. So he just stood there and put the glove back on. And when I saw that, I just saw red. The mist came down, as they said. Because, you know, those days, well, I'm still a little bit emotional, but those days I was fiery and emotional.
I mean, nowadays, if it happened, there'd have been a global inquiry.
I would have been suspended, I would have been fined, lots of things would
questions
have happened.
Questions in various parliaments?
There was an inquiry, you know, because there was an official inquiry, and what the New Zealand umpires told the person or the people that were holding the inquiry is that we were bowling too fast for them to see the ball. That's why they made so many mistakes. Give me a break.
What a great...
It's an amazing picture. I mean, wow. His right foot is almost above his head, and he's a tall
fella.
It's
an incredible kick, isn't it? It's like something out of a Royal Rovers, a drawing of a human being. It's amazing.
Yeah, and we shouldn't forget as well, I mean, the way he and Ebony Rainford-Brent and Nasser Hussain all spoke, you know, in the wake of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, and the way that they covered that. He spoke with... Of all the people across or everywhere, not just sport, he spoke with such clarity and such perfection on that. It was like it was a mesmerizing 5-10 minutes. I thought
it was the exact moment where his combination of intelligence and emotionality came to a laser point of perfection. That's exactly what was required. Both things were required to use the words that he did in the way that he did. And it was you're absolutely right. I mean, he. These days he has an amazing life, Michael. He spends the winter months, the European winter, at home in Jamaica, and then comes back here for the our summer, so-called summer, so that he can look at racehorses all day. You know, he lives near the races in Newmarket. And he had told me that these days he reserves his temper tantrums for bad jockeyship, when he sees a poor jockeyship. poor horsemanship gets him going.
Oh, good stuff. Okay, we'll look forward to listening to that. Danny, good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely. Bless you all.
Cheers,
bye.
Danny. Now, Danny Kelly there's with the whole archive. All the My Sporting Lives are available via the TalkSport app. Go and check it out, and you should download it for the cricket next week anyway, if you haven't already. Easy to swipe between TalkSport and TalkSport 2. And, go along and listen to those fantastic sort of long-form interviews. Rarely you get that much time with someone in the world of sport.
A brilliant racing commentator he'd be. Yeah, relaxed.
It'd be quite. But the thing is, he'd still be commentating. There'd be like the last three furlongs. He's quite laid back commentary.
Exactly.
Wise,
marvellous,
isn't
it?
It would be. It would be interesting. I remember chatting to him once, and we were just talking about chirping. You know, the batsman getting and I said, "Did they ever chirp at you?" He said, "Oh no, they never chirped at me."
No.
Can you imagine what you get back?
Absolutely.
Dear me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Matt Rushton here on TalkSport, and we mentioned earlier on that. Diddy David Hamilton, one-time Fulham match day announcer, DJ and TV presenter, was approached in a car park many years ago by then Chelsea footballer Didier Deschamps, and was asked if he would sell his D1 DDY number plate. To which he was asked to name his price. So Diddy David said $20,000, to which Didier Deschamps apparently said, "Is that all?" And quick thinking, Diddy David said, "Well, obviously 20 for the front one and 20 for the back one, but $40,000 was too rich for the blood."
Deschamps has got this all wrong. Yeah. He just hasn't worked out how negotiation works at all.
Yeah. So there we are. So he didn't buy it in the end.
No.
But so you're telling us about the things that the stars bought from you.
Corvus says, "British Lions rugby player Dwayne Peel came round to my house when we were in secondary school together, to look at buying quite a hefty Hewlett-Packard PC, already preloaded with Encarta, which was the sort of online encyclopedia, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he decided against the purchase, but it has provided quite the anecdote. Yes,
which he's dusted down for us today.
Thank you so much.
Sean, the West Brom fan, says, wrestler and Alfie the same pet star Pat Roach bought a van from my dad in the 90s. Bomber likes vans. Fantastic.
Mark said, sorry, is that the end of that?
Yeah, it is the end of that.
Mark said, I wanted the
that
next
was quite
bit.
Passive aggressive there, actually.
Stop it. Mark said, I once sold England paceman Andy Caddick some fencing and the BBC newsreader Ed Stourton a barber jacket. Two separate transactions. They weren't together. And Ronald says, Fatima Whitbread bought an entire collection of handmade wooden ducks from me at a car boot sale in 2004.
What if she knocked him down?
It's possible.
Did you want to lay the ducks out like come up when you say how much you want for those 20p? Is that all? 30 grand. What if his whole life is just Didier, is that all Deschamps? Wherever he would go into shops, wherever he went, you know, a packet of frozen peas.
And then they raise it and he says, I'm not interested.
Is that all? £60? No, that's too much. So Didier's never bought anything in his life because he thinks they're too cheap or too expensive.
Scott says, I once sold Craig Brown a lava lamp. I never saw Craig Brown as a lava lamp. Got maybe his room is full of lava lamps.
I mean, the tension of football management. I mean, it is quite therapeutic, isn't it, to watch that happening. This came from Ben, sent this earlier on, because he said, hello, guys, cracking 12 minutes so far.
Oh, thanks.
And normally, we only got about 12 minutes in us most days. When I was 18, I worked at Toys R Us on the collection point for computer games. One day, during their time at Derby, Ravanelli and Benito Carboni came in and bought Spyro the Magic Dragon for the PS2.
Whereas Daniel says, my mum's cousin sold her VW camper to Martin Clunes. And Darren says, I sold Eamon Holmes a Christmas tree when I used to work in B&Q. He came in, picked the biggest one and left happy.
Well, that's good. That's another satisfied customer. And to nick a setup from Harry Hill, two footballers' names, Harrison Holgate and Harrison Reed. What is it about the footballers named Harrison that makes me want to call them if I've had a slip, trip or fall at work? You think it's a Harrison Holgate. Yes. Well, I did. I came off the ladder and the governor wasn't it. Harrison Reed. Yeah, well, he might be playing tonight. I'm sure he will be. Yeah.
Scott's been in touch. Kevin Costner could only ever rely on the 7-iron fully. I know what you mean. It's a sort of, you can get enough distance with a 7-iron, but also it's quite a, you know, there's some forgiveness in the 7-iron where there isn't in the 6 or the 5.
Yeah.
He'd had a row with a caddy, snapped his clubs, all of them, and then played the qualifier. And sorry, as a spoiler for those who just wanted to watch Tin Cup, won with just a 7-iron.
Yeah, so that's cleared that up.
Thanks
because
very
there
much,
was definitely
Scott.
A 7-iron involved. Footballers' haircuts are very much in there.
Oh, they really are, aren't they? Yeah.
They've been reminded by the government that their haircuts...
Surely the government has something better to do to remind Joel Linton.
Well, the trouble is, when people complain to the National Hair and Beauty Federation, not great acronym, is it really? I want to work on that one. Remember when there was one years ago, there was an electrician's union called Eat Poo. And I used to think, not great, is it, if you're a member? It'd be difficult.
Well, not if
it?
That's how you have to qualify.
Yeah, I mean,
is
if
it?
You're, yeah. Anyway, that's what they were the initials. I'm not making this up. But where were we? So they had loads of messages last week from people saying all these footballers have had trims. What are you going to do about it? They said, well, we're Nerfbuff. We can't do anything about it. So the government have had to step in and remind footballers that if you work in TV and film production, apparently you can get a trim for a part.
Is that
but
so?
I mean, I think that it must have been managed in a certain way.
I do a bit of paid work on Zoom, less of the TV. I cut my own hair. Maybe I can get it done.
Yeah, we talked about that. Are you ready for a fresh trim?
I might need to have another go.
I took a bit off the front. Do you know what? You start to be quite cavalier, don't you, and you think, the thing you wouldn't normally do, like just take, I took some clippers to the front because it was getting a bit Ken Barlow.
You look very good, Paul.
And the missus did the back, which was,
because
she's
around,
no,
can I turn
she's,
around?
She's no hairdresser, but she just took a bit off the back.
She did a reasonable job there, yeah.
Talking of the USPGA, they've got quite a few videos of their guys at the moment who are cultivating mullets because
Rory Burns is quite extraordinary.
They've got no choice at the moment. So, footballers can't have haircuts or tattoos, apparently.
No, well, I was just about the tattoo, but on Aubameyang's tattoo, tattoo. He had a tattoo.
They haven't got to the bottom of that
Alejandro Nicolas Nernal, because he could have been in Aubameyang's bubble. You sort of think, you know, when the apocalypse reaches you, you know, and you say, what am I going to offer, you know, to get in the bunker? You know, what can I do? I can do a bit of I've got a few anecdotes. I can play the clarinet.
Well, have you seen that?
A tattoo artist is who you have in your body. You know, what do I really need? You know, at the you know when the world is about to end, who do we save? The tattoo artist.
Have you seen the new Gerard Butler vehicle on Netflix, Greenland? Apocalyptic tale where members of the public are chosen at random for the certain skills they have to go into the bunker to be saved.
Is there a tattoo artist? Did Alejandro make it in?
Well, this is the thing. You're going to want at least one tattoo artist there, aren't you? People are going to mark the fact that they survived a comet hitting the Earth.
You're right. I haven't thought it through, and I absolutely good idea.
You need at least one barber. Imagine what a reality show that would be. That someone would hurriedly put that together. There's a meteorite going to hit the Earth.
Start with Doctor, right? Yeah. Doctor surely one, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Isn't Doctor up there? You know, maybe Doctor Nurse.
Urban dance group. I've got to have one of those. I've got to have at least one of those.
Ashley Banjo's in.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Have at least one of those.
What do you have? A novelty? A magician? Do you need a magician?
Would you need one football pundit? For when football comes back, you'd need one football pundit who could comment
on
the games.
Who are you bringing in? Just one. Who are you going for?
I don't want to put myself. I'm going to upset a lot of people I know personally if I just choose one pundit.
Roy Keane and Micah Richards are doing well at the moment. It's, you know, because with the apocalypse, with the meteor, it's all about timing, isn't it? 20 years ago, Alan Hansen was a shoo-in. Yeah. Now it's Roy Keane and Micah Richards. It's just the way it works, isn't it?
Anyway, we'll leave that there, I think. But if you do want to keep telling us about things that...
I do another hour and a half on an apocalypse. I don't mind.
If things that... what is this? Oh, yeah.
Considering the phone-in I was doing on that classic clip from 2008 when I was asking people how close you've been to death and what was it like. Yeah. The apocalypse is pretty light stuff for me.
I sometimes feel like doing the show with you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Quite a heart warmer that compared with the many people who've been rushing to get into the bunker this afternoon, pushing their hand in the faces of humanity. You're going to lead at least one builder, we're told by Gab Cancello. But can you imagine, after all the devastation,
of course,
it's a film, it's called Greenland, it's Gerard Butler, it's not happening, but they do cherry pick people from different professions to go into the bunker, basically to rebuild what's left of this beautiful world of ours. And a lot of people have been stepping up in the last hour saying, oh, I'm an upholsterer, you're going to need someone to do the chairs.
So I do like Gab says, the builder coming out of the bunker going,
yeah.
Going to have to knock this all down
and
start again.
The builder, I mean, builders juggling jobs is not the that thing where you get the phone call at 5 to 8 and I can't come today, we've overrun on another job. If you've got actually one building, you've got to rebuild the whole earth. That is going to be a nightmare, isn't it? I can come Wednesday.
It's been an apocalypse, so I'll be a couple of weeks.
You've got to give me a break, mate. You know, it's going to take a few weeks.
See, Darren Drysdale has apologised for... and the footage is pretty extraordinary, isn't it? Because he's much bigger than Alan Judge,
and
isn't he?
He's got that Howard Webb build, isn't he? He's a bit of a unit.
Well, so. In the mail, he's a sergeant in the RAF.
Yeah,
in Waddington, in 2004, was named Combined Services Sports Official of the Year due to his work for sport within the RAF. The 49-year-old attracted media attention in 2006 after Bradford City's Dean Windass received a 5-match ban for swearing at him in the car park after a home game against Brentford. But I don't know
what was said to him, but he didn't like it. And most refs are used to getting abuse. I don't know what was said in the moment or just something I don't know. You think the adrenaline's pumping for these guys as well. They're in the midst of the game and they do put up with a lot. And maybe it's surprising that we don't see them react, however, in whichever way, a little bit more regularly. I hope from his point of view, it's the end of it and that Ipswich and the player accept it and he's able to move on.
I think so. Refs shouldn't do that.
People
calling saying this is a total disgrace, you know, like they're on the end of it a lot of the time. I think I agree with you. I was playing in a friendly once and a referee started on one of our teammates, you know.
Really?
He just said, that's it. Forget the game. You and me, let's go. And like, it was quite...
That's pushing it.
It is pushing it. Yeah. But what was quite extraordinary about it was it really... Because it was quite a narky game. And it really did kind of calm all the players down. If it was a contested throw-in after that, we were like, no, you have it. Because we were just all terrified of the ref. We were like, we want to get the game done. So it had a really calming effect on all the players.
Interesting.
It was quite an interesting sort of reverse psychology.
Maybe he was just trying to dial down the heat of that particular match by...
Possible.
By getting a bit close to the planet. The you were telling me earlier on, you saw this, it was a clip from Scandinavia, a real "you are the ref" moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I don't know the game, because my knowledge of football, it stops just at Swedish second division. Right? That's where the cutoff is for me. But basically, the ball goes out of play, and the manager is in his technical area, and he picks up the ball and just...
He catches it. He catches it.
And he lobs it to his centre-back, and they play on. And as far as I can tell...
It's a proper throwing proper behind throwing, the head.
I think he might lift his back foot, but the linesman didn't see that. And then they just play on. And part of me thinks, why not? If it goes into the technical area, you know, sometimes Steve Bruce drags it out of the sky. Just play on. Get it back in.
So you think the manager's, if the ball's in the technical area and it goes to that manager's allowed to get it back into play.
Absolutely.
He becomes part of the team.
Yes, but only the technical area, obviously. Otherwise, it's ridiculous.
If his foot's outside the technical area, VAR would need to check whether he was fully in the technical area.
They need to calibrate the lines.
But it's interesting because it's not something he does as a joke. He just catches the ball, immediately throws it to what looks like one of his defenders. I don't know if it's one of their defenders, that makes any difference. Yeah. We don't know what side he was on.
But he does it in the flow, doesn't it?
Yeah, but if you did that in the Premier League, I would imagine you'd be sent off as a manager, wouldn't you? You'd be up in the stands. You get the red card.
Alan says, I'm a web designer. I have nothing to offer the bunker, but I can knock up a great set of terms and conditions people need to click before going in.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're going to need someone to... I say we, like I've taken ownership of this. We were making the point earlier on that, maybe I shouldn't go down this route. It's a bit too dark. I don't think I will.
I don't mind you going down this route.
No, it's just the idea that... If in this fictional moment where in this film Greenland the meteorite should hit, we think I've got this theory that Mark Strong, of course the fine actor Mark Strong, who's the voice of many public information films, has been certainly over the last year. I think he will be the voice of the apocalypse.
It's highly possible.
I don't want to bring everybody down, but it's not going to happen. We're fine, kids. We're fine. But if it does come up, Mark's will be the last voice you hear. So I just think in that little bit of reflected glory, the last thing you ever say on this planet, Max, will be, I play five-a-side with Mark Strong. They'll be the last words we hear.
I look forward to it. And then I say, and the microwave...
Yeah, that's it. Off it goes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Glenn Hoddle last night was doing the Barca-PSG game, and there was that moment where Navas nearly messed things up, gave the ball to Griezmann, and he nearly scored. And in the aftermath of it, Glenn said something I thought A would make a very good DVD if those things still existed, like a Glenn Hoddle special, a compilation for Christmas, and also had a slight sound of young Steptoe. Have a listen to this.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Glenn Hoddle's "Oh dear, look at these keepers." Yeah, Glenn on the front with a pair of goalkeepers. He did play in goal once.
Looking
for
confused.
Spurs, game
absolutely.
One. He'd be having the gloves on, he'd be dropping a ball, and it'd be great goalkeeping howlers. "Oh dear, look at these keepers."
What with that and reading lawns? Gosh,
yeah.
What a prolific day. Day for Glenn
BT
Hoddle.
Are listening. A BT Sports special. "Oh dear, look at these keepers" with Glenn Hoddle.
Marvellous.
Now, you mentioned earlier on, we were chatting to Sammy, weren't we, from the Fulhamish podcast, about the fact that a lot of Scott Parker's press conferences have been put to the music of the streets.
Yeah, post-match, when he's really feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
They stick it to a streets back. I think it happens pretty much every time now. They're always great.
I'd heard one, and it struck me that some of the listeners maybe had not heard one. So we thought we would take you to the travel with a bit of Scott Parker and the streets. When we come back, we're looking ahead to Everton versus Manchester City live on TalkSport this evening.
I like to think so. Look, I can understand where people's thinking is. Of course, I can. I also think that's scarred a little bit, or that's helped a little bit from the last time we was here. And there's certainly a narrative. And at the same time, you concede goals like we was conceding early on in the season. I get it. But look, listen. I believe in this team. I really do. Do I believe there's going to be struggles along the way this year? For sure there is. For sure there is. But I also believe in this team, and with a certain character, with a certain ingredient, we have quality. But I think we all realise, and you guys realise more than anything, in football matches and in teams, and I don't just talk about teams that are fighting relegation, I talk about teams that are trying to win leagues, that you need something extra you can't coach, something extra you can't give on a training field. You can try and develop it in a meeting room and on the field, of course, but and that's what we need to enjoy them moments, really.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Did Everton's titanic effort in the FA Cup against Spurs early in the week take too much out of them? Everton 0, Fulham 2.
You have to do better, of course. We lost a lot of games, too much. At home, not having a good performance, like tonight.
Calvert-Lewin past the goalkeeper, an equaliser in stoppage time for Everton.
Most important is to reach the position in Europe. For the stability, of course, for the happiness.
And Gundogan has it, and has scored a wonderful goal for Manchester City. It's 3-0.
In February, nobody's champion, nobody will be champion. In March, no one. Game by game.
City are on the front foot again, brought down by Jesus. Volleys it in for three. Manchester City running away with it.
Every single game has his own character, brings his own challenge with it, and that's why it's just difficult in every single game.
Yes, Everton play Manchester City live on TalkSport tonight on the build-up from 7:15 kick-off for that one. Joining us now with an Everton perspective is a comedian, podcast and Evertonian, Sam Avery. Good afternoon, Sam.
Hello, fellas.
Yeah, it's a strange performance at the weekend, wasn't it, really? A decent cup win against Tottenham, scoring five, and then really flat against Fulham. Fulham played well, but still.
Yeah, it was awful. I mean, Fulham did play well, but it was so disappointing after last Wednesday. I mean, like last Wednesday, that game against Tottenham was such a, you know, we so spirited the way we kept coming back and then scoring that extra time goal. I reckon in most of my lifetime, we wouldn't have won that game. And then we did. And so you start to feel we can really push on now. And the game against Fulham was so bad. And what really made me laugh was the whoever does the sound effects for the TV, like coverage, like, I don't know what buttons they were pressing, but there was still Everton fans singing in like the 86th minute. And, you know, we always get behind our team, but we'd not had a shot on target and we were 2-0 down and we were never going to get anywhere. And there was no chance. I mean, to turn the crowd sound off would have been more realistic because most people would have gone home by then, I think.
It's interesting, isn't it, Sam, with Everton? I've been talking about the Everton Cup, which is finishing seventh, and you know, Everton, it doesn't matter what happens in the season, they can be, you know, they can be in danger of relegation, and then somehow at the end they're seventh, or they could be, you know, they're pushing for second or top four, and then suddenly at the end they're seventh. They're just sort of this constant that happens every year since about the mid 80s. But even now, that you know, you've got to look at it and go, you know, this is such a, okay, City are hard, but you're still, you know, You can be above Liverpool. You're still in with a shout at the top four. Yet there's no part of me believes that you'll do anything but finish seventh.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you on that. And it's like a week ago we were looking at the league table. We were looking up, and now I'm starting to look not down, but like the teams below are starting to catch up. West Ham have shot up. Chelsea have shot above us. And you know, now you're thinking, all right, well, we've got a game in hand, but that game in hand is against Man City tonight. So as much as we go into that with, you know, total underdogs, maybe that'll play in our favour. But it's such a compact league table at the moment. That's why Sunday was so disappointing. And I'm still disappointed now. And I think football means so much more at the moment because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So when your team plays, you build up to it all day. And, you know, I've been trying to forget about that Fulham performance. And I open the cupboard in the morning to make myself a brew and I see my Everton mug there and I'm like, ah, there it is. And I remember it all and it just comes back to me. You know?
You don't have an Everton nil Burnley, Everton nil Fulham 2 mug, do you? That would be a disappointment.
Not very specific.
Yes.
It's in the post. It's coming from Moonpig, I think. Someone's sending it to me.
No, Calvert-Lewin is being rested for the derby by the sound of it. And you know, I'm sure you would have preferred to have played Liverpool off the back of after that defeat against Leicester rather than playing them after that win last night.
Yeah, I wish I could get rested for the derby for just like a few days. Yeah. To feel a bit more mentally prepared for it. To be honest, despite everything I've said, I do go into tonight with a little bit of confidence because I think the way we've played this season against the teams above us and the teams who are kind of traditionally better than us, I think we've been really, really, you know, outstanding, if not great to watch for the neutral. We've really kind of controlled parts of the games. Our away form's been fantastic. Obviously, we're not away tonight, but I think playing Man City, I think we'll sort of treat it like an away game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will do it all again tomorrow. We got the birthday spread.
It just gets bigger and bigger, the birthday spread, the more I lose.
You won
it?
Paddy's challenge today. Would you rather win Paddy's challenge or the birthday spread?
No interest. in Paddy's Challenge. It's like the League Cup. The birthday spread is like the Champions
it's
League.
It's the Champions League. Okay, we do battle again with Andy Jacobs and official scorer Jeff Peters. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.